hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Russian Olympic Committee is suspended with immediate effect. Individual clean Russian athletes will be able to participate under strict conditions at the Olympic Winter Games Pyeongchang 2018. These invited athletes will participate, be it in individual or team competitions, under the name Olympic Athlete from Russia, with the acronym OAR. They will compete with the uniform bearing this name and under the Olympic flag. The Olympic anthem will be played in any ceremony. No official of the Russian Ministry of Sport will be accredited for the Olympic Winter Games Pyeongchang 2018.
That's International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach announcing Russia's ban from the 2018 Winter Games in South Korea because of widespread state-sponsored doping. For more on this big Olympic story, here's reporter Henry Ridgewell.
In the run-up to the IOC decision, ice hockey teams across Russia posted videos on the internet with the message, "We want to go to the Olympics," but their protestations were in vain. To the dismay of many Russians, the president of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, announced the ban Tuesday evening.
This systemic manipulation of the anti-doping system in Russia was an unprecedented attack on the integrity of the Olympic Games. So this is why the IOC Executive Board has today suspended the Russian Olympic Committee with immediate effect.
Over 20 Russian athletes have been banned following doping tests conducted on samples taken at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. The IOC ruled that Russian athletes who can prove they are clean can compete in the 2018 Winter Olympics under the Olympic flag. The head of Russia's Olympic Committee, Alexander Zhukov, voiced optimism that the ban would draw a line under the scandal. Zhukov said it is assumed that on the last day of the Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, all the suspensions will be lifted from the Russian Olympic Committee and Russian athletes can walk under the Russian flag along with the other world athletes. Zhukov has been suspended as a member of the IOC. The Russian Deputy Prime Minister Vitaly Mutko has been banned from any future participation at the Olympic Games. As Minister of Sport, Mutko stands accused of overseeing the Sochi doping program. Olympic historian Philip Barker says Russia saw the Sochi Olympics as a chance to prove the nation's prowess.
There was a sense in 2014 that they did really want these games to be the best they'd ever been. And of course, they wanted some Russian success to be the icing on the cake. And now we know how they went about it.
The IOC stopped short of banning Russia for the 2016 Rio Olympics. Banning Russia from the 2018 Winter Games was an easier decision, says Barker.
There is a smaller reach in the Winter Games. So banning Russia from this would be a statement, but it wouldn't be as cataclysmic as banning them from the Summer Olympics in Tokyo in 3 years' time.
The IOC ruling risks embarrassing other sporting bodies. Russia's tainted Deputy Prime Minister Vitaly Mutko is currently the lead organiser for the 2018 FIFA Football World Cup, due to be staged in Russia next summer. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Thanks, Henry. Australia is among the countries supporting the IOC decision to ban Russia from the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. The chief of mission for Australia's 2018 Winter Olympics team is Ian Chesterman.
It's a very strong statement by the IOC, and it's an appropriate statement. I think what we saw in Sochi was clearly a disgrace, what happened there at those games, by the host nation, and I'm delighted that the IOC has come out with such a strong response. I've never seen anything like this in my involvement in the Olympic movement. Obviously, you go back to some dark era, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when a lot of drug cheating was taking place behind the Eastern Bloc in those days. But in the modern context, this is orchestrated cheating. That's what took place over there in Russia and by the host nation. And that's why I think it's such a serious offence that they committed and why there's been such a serious response.
Ian Chesterman says the serious response by the IOC will make for a cleaner, fairer Olympics in South Korea.
I think it does establish a very even playing field. Every athlete that comes from Russia that will be at those games will have been tested, I'm sure, many times. They have to pass very strict criteria to be there, and that's absolutely appropriate. Everybody from every nation wants to be there and have an even playing field, not have athletes who are there with any serious history involved in drugs. And in this way, the Russian athletes are going to have to pass some really big tests to be there. And I think that's a good thing. I know our athletes will be pleased about that. And I know our athletes will enjoy having, you know, everybody can get to those games there as long as they're clean.
That's Ian Chesterman, the chief of mission for Australia's 2018 Winter Olympics team. And he was speaking to reporters in Sydney, Australia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, some of the world's greatest football players will be in Paris on Thursday for the annual Ballon d'Or Awards ceremony.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Keep counting them down, Ray. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Portuguese football star Cristiano Ronaldo is the favorite to retain the Ballon d'Or trophy at the annual awards ceremony in Paris on Thursday night. The 32-year-old Ronaldo helped Real Madrid win both the UEFA Champions League and Spain's La Liga last season. Ronaldo is one of seven Real players among the nominees for the Ballon d'Or award. Should Ronaldo win in the French capital, he'll equal the record of his longtime rival and five-time Ballon d'Or winner, Lionel Messi of Barcelona, who also is nominated. The only other Barca player in the running for the award is Luis Suarez, while Paris Saint-Germain's Neymar and Edinson Cavani are also included on the short list. Meanwhile, if you go to my Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, you'll see a photo with the caption, Messi Marred. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. What does that mean, Sonny? Messi Marred? Well, the photo shows a woman and a child standing in front of the statue of Argentine football star Lionel Messi in Buenos Aires. For the second time this year, the bronze statue was vandalized, chopped off at the ankles, with the body left on the pavement. Now, I'm not quite sure if this is a sign that Lionel Messi isn't that popular in Argentina's capital, but since being installed in June 2016, the Messi statue has been a regular target of vandals. At the beginning of this year, vandals cut the statue in half at the waist. Turning to tennis, 36-year-old Roger Federer is ending the year as the world's number two ranked player, one place behind his longtime rival, Rafael Nadal. Federer and Nadal both had resurgent seasons in 2017, with each player winning two Grand Slam titles. Federer won the Australian Open and Wimbledon, while Nadal captured the singles trophy at the French Open and the U.S. Open. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, we look back on Roger Federer's record-breaking title at Wimbledon, and here's what he had to say.
Yes, it is very special. Wimbledon was always my favorite tournament, will always be my favorite tournament, and my heroes walked the grounds here and walked the courts here, and because of them, I think I became a better player too. So to mark history here at Wimbledon really means a lot to me.
That's Roger Federer, the Swiss tennis star, who marked history at Wimbledon by winning his record 8th men's singles title and 19th Grand Slam trophy.
Winning 8 is not something you can ever aim for, in my opinion. And if you do, I don't know, you must have so much talent and parents and coaches that push you from an age of 3 on who think that you're like a project. And I was not that kid. I was just a really normal guy growing up in Basel and hoping to make a career on the tennis tour. And I guess I dreamed, I believed, and really hoped that maybe I could actually really do it, you know, to make it real.
Roger Federer made it real by beating Croatia's Marin Cilic in straight sets in the final, 6-3, 6-1, and 6-4. Cilic cried during a changeover in the second set, realizing his dreams of a first Wimbledon title were being dashed by a bad blister on his foot.
Well, it was definitely one of the unfortunate days for me. I got a really bad blister. Even I felt it in the match with Querrey in the semis, and fluid just came down under my callus in the foot. And I want to thank the physios here, Alejandro and Graham and Dr. Phil. They helped last 30 hours. They were just constantly almost with me, and they did as much as they could. But unfortunately, I still felt the pain, and every time I had to do a reaction fast change of movement, I was unable to do that, and obviously it was very tough emotionally.
In the women's singles final at Wimbledon, Spain's Garbiñe Muguruza defeated longtime American star Venus Williams in straight sets 7-5 and 6-love. At 37, Venus was trying to become the oldest female champion in Wimbledon history. But Muguruza showed her tennis toughness, especially during some long rallies near the end of the first set. It was the second Grand Slam title for the Spanish player. Muguruza defeated Venus's younger sister, Serena, in last year's French Open final. In the process, she became the first player to defeat both Williams sisters in Grand Slam finals. Talk to us, Garbiñe!
I always come very motivated to the Grand Slams. And I don't know, since I lost the final here, you know, I wanted to change that. And I came thinking, I'm prepared, I feel good. And during the tournament and the matches, I was feeling better and better. And every match, I was increasing my level. And I think today, I played well.
Garbiñe Muguruza didn't just play well, according to Venus Williams.
She played really well. I mean, she played top tennis, so I have to give her credit for just playing a better match. And I've had a great 2 weeks, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer.
That's American tennis star Venus Williams. And I know a lot of tennis fans are looking forward to seeing Venus and her younger sister, Serena, back out on the courts in 2018. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll hear from the VOA social media reporter, Andrew Palcheski.
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm in Nigeria. I love listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
Because this is Africa. This time for Africa.
I'm very excited.
Cause this is Africa. Samina mina, eh, waka waka, eh, Samina mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Voice of America.
Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Wednesday?
Well, you led off the show with it. It is the big trending topic today, that huge decision from the IOC banning Russia from the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. It's important to note that it's not a blanket ban. The IOC says Russian athletes who are clean can participate under the designation of Olympic athlete from Russia. However, they won't compete under the Russian flag. They'll compete under the Olympic flag. They'll have the Olympic anthem played if they win gold. Something that's not unprecedented, and it actually is kind of linked to Russia, because in 1992, after the breakup of the Soviet Union, former Soviet satellite states competed as part of the so-called unified team, which was also competed under the Olympic flag and anthem. So not unprecedented, but 26 years later, kind of surprising to see this happening in our modern times.
And one other quick Olympic note, should a Russian athlete win a medal in Pyeongchang at the 2018 Winter Games, it does not go into Russia's medal tally. It's going to say zero across the board for Russia.
Yeah, so they won't be reaping the benefits even if any of those athletes do get into the games. There have been a mix of reactions on social media. Some people are saying that it's a good thing that Russia is banned and they should be held accountable for breaking the rules and making the Olympics and sports generally less fair through this systemic doping. Russian fans, of course, are the flip side of that. They're outraged. They say it's totally unfair that they should have their athletes in, that this was not actually going on, that there was no doping scheme. So they're believing their own reality in Russia that may not exactly align with what the IOC has evidence of. There are other fans who are saying that Russia's absence will diminish the value of the medals earned by athletes. Well, with Russia absent, they say, they're not competing against some of the best athletes in the world. And to that end, we're seeing a lot of analysts and analysis and analysts, amateur analysts, talking about who might win medals now that Russia is out. And hockey in particular, a lot of people looking at the U.S. or Canada to do quite well now that Russia will not be fielding a hockey team or rinking a hockey team, I guess you could say. Then there's the people who say it's unfair to Russian athletes who haven't been involved in the doping programs. But again, they can go through that process. It's a rather extensive process, is my understanding. But if they are clean, they can get through that process so they can compete in the Olympics and not miss that once-in-a-lifetime chance.
Andrew, also a possible spillover effect to the 2018 World Cup, which Russia will host. One of the officials banned for life from the Olympics, Vitaly Mutko, is in fact in charge of Russia's organizing committee for the 2018 World Cup. Do you see that type of spillover to the World Cup?
It could very well happen. And in fact, we saw some U.S. diplomats and political heavyweights weighing in. Among them, U.S. Senator John McCain. He posted on Twitter and said that the IOC's decision to ban Russia from the Winter Olympics is a welcome step in serving justice to Putin's government for its elaborate doping scheme. FIFA should add this to the list of reasons why FIFA World Cup should not be held in Russia. Already we're seeing that from Senator John McCain, one of the big voices in U.S. politics. I imagine that we'll see other people come forward and possibly make the same argument that Russia needs to have the World Cup pulled. I don't know if that's possible at this stage in the game. The World Cup is only 7 months away. I don't know that they could find a place to host it. Maybe go back to Brazil since they have the facilities there, but they'd have to make that decision pretty quickly. I don't think with all the security and ticketing and all the other elements that go into the World Cup, not to mention the fans traveling, they've already booked hotels and flights. They'd have to do so, as we say, they'd have to do so yesterday. They'd have to do it, you know, really, really soon.
I agree. I think the time factor is such that they'll keep the World Cup in Russia.
I think there's more likely than not they will, but there will be those continued calls for more investigations and more examinations into this doping, particularly with the World Cup coming up. I think that's going to heighten that focus.
Well, what else is trending, Andrew, outside of this Russian Olympic ban?
Well, we're coming up on the end of the year, so we're seeing year-end awards honoring achievements in 2017. And that, of course, includes achievements in the sports world. And last night at the Barclays Center in New York, Sports Illustrated magazine presented its Sports Person of the Year awards. And there's a lot of attention, Sonny, on the athletes they chose for two of the biggest awards, because they're being honored not just for their work on the playing field in the sports arena, but beyond, and being involved in two of the biggest stories in U.S. sports this year that have happened outside of the game. First, Sports Person of the Year presented to two athletes this year, J.J. Watt of the National Football League's Houston Texans and Jose Altuve of Major League Baseball's Houston Astros. J.J. Watt, of course, we've talked about on the show before. After Hurricane Harvey devastated the city of Houston, Watt took to social media to start to raise money for victims, and it started out with him raising a couple $100,000. By the end of his campaign, he had raised over $37 million for the people of Houston.
So impressive.
Very impressive and well-deserved for his work off the field. And then Jose Altuve named the 2017 most valuable player in Major League Baseball's American League for his contributions to the Houston Astros' first ever World Series win. Sports Illustrated writing that his play on the field helped to boost the spirits of the city of Houston as they recovered from that devastation. So fans on social media saying that these two men are very deserving of this award. And I like this phrase somebody had. They said, nice guys finish first. So certainly in this case, the two nice guys did finish first in this case. The other big moment of the night last night was the Muhammad Ali Legacy Award, which was presented to an athlete who has dominated the headlines, even though he's not actively playing, and that's Colin Kaepernick. Of course, he started the NFL protests over the treatment of African Americans, and even though he hasn't played in the NFL since 2016, he has inspired other players to take up the cause of social justice. He's donated $1 million of his own money to social justice causes. So Kaepernick accepting that award, saying that Muhammad Ali was a champion of the people, and he said, without even the NFL's platform, with or without the NFL, he is going to continue to work for the people. So even if he never returns to the NFL, he's going to continue that social justice campaign. This, of course, has been a very divisive issue, and this award was divisive on social media. A lot of people talking about whether he should or shouldn't have gotten it. But a lot of people talking about, too, who presented Colin Kaepernick with that award, surprise appearance by none other than Beyonce.
So Beyonce,
she was getting
Bee.
A lot of Bee, big Queen Bee was getting a lot of talk, too, as well.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Vilaric. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. welcomes an order by President Salva Kiir of South Sudan to allow unimpeded humanitarian access in the war-torn country. The pledge is only one of several that need to be implemented. The U.S. has made it clear to leaders in South Sudan that they must honor their declared ceasefire, engage meaningfully in the planned regionally brokered peace talks, stop the obstruction and harassment of aid workers, and cooperate fully with the United Nations mission in South Sudan. U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations Nikki Haley stated that the United States will not be ambiguous in the face of atrocity during a recent speech at the U.S. Holocaust Museum. Describing the horrific suffering she saw among South Sudanese refugees on a recent trip to the region, Ambassador Haley noted,
"The United States is both generous and patient, but we are not without our limits. Entire generations are being lost in South Sudan. Families are being destroyed. We cannot and will not look away. We must never be silent when it comes to the fundamental human rights. We must never waver when it comes to atrocities and genocide. We must always take sides."
Ambassador Haley said that both sides in the conflict are responsible for atrocities against civilians, but the government is primarily responsible for ethnically based killings and for deliberately blocking the delivery of humanitarian assistance to suffering people. Ambassador Haley met with Kiir during her trip and laid out U.S. concerns.
"The leaders of that country need to take responsibility and seize this opportunity. I laid out a series of things we expect from President Kiir in the near future, and a series of things he will face if he does not deliver. Time will tell if he makes good on his commitments, and time is short for him to do that."
What makes the situation so frustrating, said Ambassador Haley, is that it is not hopeless. There is a way to end the violence in South Sudan. There is a way to resuscitate the 2015 peace agreement. That resuscitation could happen as officials and rebel leaders attend internationally brokered peace talks next month. Michael Morrow, the U.S. Embassy's chargé d'affaires in South Sudan, told Bloomberg News that both sides will face sanctions should they fail to act in good faith. "If there are any spoilers of the process, if there is anyone who reneges on their commitment," he said, "they can expect to face harsh measures."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.